you to turn to two portions of Scripture tonight. The first is Jeremiah chapter 5, and then secondly, John chapter 8. So Jeremiah chapter 5 and John chapter 8. We've been looking at the subject of creation and evolution, and we're going to continue to do so tonight. And I know I'm kind of going to be rehearsing some of the things I've already mentioned, but tonight I want to look at them under a different subject heading, and I'll explain what that is here in just a moment. But I have an article, and unfortunately, I didn't put down the author of this particular article, and I know I probably saved it years ago, because I remember 15 years ago or so using a lot of this information in an email that I sent to someone who was a proponent of evolution. Matter of fact, I looked for that email and didn't find it, because I know I was much more thorough in that email. But in that email, I asked a question to someone: why did they lie? And that's the title of the particular article that I have in front of me as well. Why did they lie? Evolution, fact or fraud? And so let's read a couple of passages. Jeremiah 5 and verse 31. It says, "The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof?" You might also look at verse number 30 and how God describes what is going on here. He says, "A wonderful and a horrible thing is committed in the land." And again, wonderful in that particular context is not talking about something positive. It is something to cause you to wonder. And he says it's a horrible thing. And the horrible thing that's being committed in the land is that the prophets prophesy falsely. They're not delivering God's message. They're delivering their own message. The priests bear rule by their means. And I take that to mean they are using their authority incorrectly. But then perhaps the worst of it all is that my people love to have it so. So the prophets are lying, and that's what the people want. What a sad testimony to the people of Israel of this time. And then look at John chapter 8. John chapter 8. In verse 44 of the chapter, Jesus here is talking to the Pharisees primarily. He says, "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Again, notice what Jesus Christ has to say about the devil. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. He's the originator of lies. He doesn't love the truth, nor does he tell the truth. He takes the truths of the Word of God and he twists them. Many times he's a great counterfeiter, and he takes what God has and he makes something similar and yet false. We have the true churches of God that exist in the world today, and then Satan has his false church. Churches that teach in a works religion. The Bible's account of creation is very clear for all who would read and understand. But even Satan there has come up with a counterfeit method for how this universe has come into existence. And it's through the evolutionary process. Now, last week we talked about why it is that so many of the elite, so many of the educators and those in academia and such have embraced evolutionary thinking wholeheartedly. I mean, here's a group of people that prides themselves on their ability to critically think, to question things. And yet when it comes to the theory of evolution, they just have embraced it 100% and seem to have left their critical minds at the doorway. And why is that? Well, it's because, as in their own words, let me read some of the quotes I read last week. Dr. George Wald, the Nobel Prize winner and professor emeritus of biology at Harvard University, he said, "I do not want to believe in God. Therefore, I choose to believe in that which I know is scientifically impossible, spontaneous generation arising to evolution." He answers the question as to why he embraces evolutionary science so completely, without question, without critically thinking. He says, "I do not want to believe in God." It's not that he can. It's not even necessarily that there's a lack of evidence. He doesn't want to believe in God. I quoted Sir William Huxley, the grandson of Darwin's colleague Thomas Huxley, who said, "I suppose the reason we leaped at the origin of species was because the idea of God interfered with our sexual mores." And there's been many others who have parroted that statement or said something very similar. Again, let me just give you one more of these we looked at last week. Thomas Nagel, he's a New York University philosophy professor. He said, "I want atheism to be true, and am made uneasy by the fact that some of the most intelligent and well-informed people I know are religious believers. It isn't just that I don't believe in God and naturally hope that I am right in my belief. It's that I hope there is not God. I don't want there to be a God. I don't want the universe to be like that." Again, this particular article has quote after quote of people who embrace evolution, and at least in part, why they embrace it. Is it because the scientific evidence points in that direction? Some of them probably would argue that that's the case, but it's really not the case. And if the Bible is true, and we know it is true, and God has created the universe, and it's a rather young universe, not an old universe like some scientists purport, how come it is that so many people embrace the theory of evolution? Well, again, our answer is found in the Bible, because the deeds of men are evil. They don't come to the light. Why? Lest their deeds be reproved. They don't want there to be a God, because then they would be accountable to Him. And I think the subject matter for tonight will also demonstrate to you just how eager the scientific community, at least a vast percentage of the scientific community, so readily accepted the theory of evolution without questioning it. I mean, the world, it seemed to be ripe for this anti-God philosophy. And because of that, it was embraced, even though it was a lie. I mentioned a Piltdown man last week. Again, there's a lot of information in this book I have, the Evolution Cruncher. As a matter of fact, he has one particular chapter that's kind of dedicated to a lot of these false evidences that were purported by evolutionary scientists, only later to be found to be frauds. And that's really what we're going to look at tonight. And so Piltdown Man is perhaps one of the most notable of these hoaxes. Piltdown Man was discovered, among other bones, in Piltdown, which is near Sussex, England, in 1912. And when this discovery was made, it was immediately proclaimed as the missing link. You know, this the missing link between ape and man. And by the way, you would think that if evolution is true and that we evolved from apes, you would have hundreds, if not thousands, of fossil records of the in-between species, you know, of man going from ape to man. But we don't have. I mean, there's a handful, maybe even a dozen, things that are put forth as missing links. But most of those have been hoaxes. Most of those are questionable at best. And again, you would think you would have hundreds and thousands of things within the fossil record that support the evolutionary theory. But you don't. You don't. It's interesting, as I was reading on this particular subject today, most scientists will say that, you know, mankind kind of began evolving. Oh, I forget the time frame they put, but, you know, a particular time frame, mankind has evolved since then. And yet, 100,000 years or so ago, mankind stopped evolving. And again, you don't see any evolutionary processes taking place amongst humans today. And you might ask yourself the question, if you're an evolutionary scientist, why is that? And you know what their answer to that question is? That man stopped evolving physically and began evolving culturally and socially. And by the way, it's the socialists, for the most part, who are evolutionary proponents. And so they think the next step in societal evolution is towards a socialist form of government, where we can bring in this great utopia where the American, well, not just the American, but the world population has finally arrived. But think about that. Why would the human being stop evolving in the particular state that we're in? Because I think we could use some improvements, don't you? We could have some padding on our shins. That would be a good improvement on the human body, I would think. That's really the only improvement I have for the human body. But accredited scientists the world over dogmatically declared the bones of Piltdown Man to be 500,000 years old and dogmatic proof that man descended from animals. In 1916, there was actually a dentist who performed a test on the bones of Piltdown Man, and he had said that the tooth had been, I'm looking for the information on this, let me see if I can find it. Yeah, a report of a dentist in 1916 who said someone had filed down the teeth was completely ignored. I mean, here was a man pointing out early on, this was 4 years after the discovery of the bones, but he was pointing out that this tooth had been filed down, that his findings were ignored. He was probably called some ignorant Bible-thumping believer who ignored scientific evidence. But again, he was just ignored. And when humble Bible believers, even back at this time, asked for proof, you know, proof that this is indeed the missing link, they were ridiculed and called ignorant and uneducated, just like we are today. A common statement in this particular article, he says, a common statement by educated people for years has been, I don't know of any educated person who rejects evolution and believes the Bible literally. I read this all the time. When I read stories online, a lot of times I look at the comments that people make, at, you know, because there's a place where you can make comments at the end of the story, and Of course, whenever it's of a religious nature, they always end up being heated little debates between people. And I've seen this over and over and over again. Someone will offer up scientific evidence to support the Bible, and it just, do they come back, you know, arguing against that particular evidence? No. They just completely dismiss the person because the theory that they support is one that's based on what the Bible teaches. But aren't scientists supposed to test all theories using the scientific method? Then why dismiss one just because it's based on the Bible? In this particular article, he says, lowly Bible believers were told that scientists were always right, and they believed only scientific facts, and that scientists were truly objective without prejudice. I imagine there's very few people in the world that have no prejudice. I mean, we do. We have a bias. We believe what God has said. Our faith is in His Word. And many times, the evolutionary scientist, his faith is in the science of the day, in the evolutionary framework, and anything that seems to contradict it must be a lie. Of course, when this happened with Piltdown Man, many so-called Christian scholars tried to harmonize the Bible and evolution. They reinterpreted creation references as parables and metaphorical descriptions of God's work in a language that man could understand. And these explanations always favored unbelieving scientists at the expense of the Bible. Many Christian scholars, in this particular article it states, rejected faith in their lust for the world's approval as intellectuals. I mean, you know, even myself, I don't like to be considered ignorant, uneducated. And yet I know that that's how people view me since I just take the Bible at face value. And I don't like that. That people think I'm ignorant and stupid and uneducated and can't think objectively. That's at least what they think. Because I don't think those things are true. But I'm not going to change what I believe to meet with the world's approval. I'd rather have God's approval. I genuinely and truly believe that the Bible is true. And that anything that someone teaches that's contrary to the Bible is a lie. That doesn't mean I can't approach things objectively from time to time. I mean, yeah, I have a bias, I have a prejudice. But that doesn't always mean I'm going to have an answer for everything. In 1953, again, this is why I wish I had the author of this article, but I don't. But in 1953, he said he was an Air Force chaplain. And he purchased a set of the Encyclopedia Britannica. Of course, at that time, one of the world's most renowned authorities on everything. And again, I don't know who this individual was, but he talks about what a thrill it was to be able to read about all these different subjects and what the authorities had to say on each of them. He says, at least until he got to the subject of the Piltdown Man. And then the Encyclopedia Britannica, it talked about Piltdown Man and said that he was a valuable link between man and animals. And he said even though he had been taught that in high school and college, because he was older and more mature, this began to, you know, challenge what it is that he believed. But he determined by God's grace to simply exercise faith in what the Bible said anyway. And you know, it was later on that year that Piltdown Man was said to be a hoax. An analysis was made to date the bones more precisely, and it was discovered that the skull was human and the jaw was that of a monkey. So someone purposefully took a human skull and a jaw bone of a monkey with the teeth. He filed the teeth down to make them look human and buried them. The tests show that the creatures had recently died, but the bones had been chemically treated to make them look old. Most news agencies completely ignored the report. And it was only Christian publications who reported this new discovery. And according to this article, not once have leading evolutionists apologized for promoting a fraud to the world. This is one new fact I came across this week that I found very interesting. Did you know that over 500 students, because again, Piltdown Man was discovered in 1912. It wasn't reported as a hoax until 1953. So you've got about 40 years in there that it was in textbooks and such. And during this time, over 500 PhD students wrote their doctrinal dissertations on Piltdown Man. Over 500. And again, people who write their doctrinal dissertation, that's the last step in getting their PhD. And so 500 people wrote their doctrinal dissertation on Piltdown Man, and as a result were granted PhDs from outstanding universities all over the world. I would like to read some of those, wouldn't you? That'd be very interesting. Talking about how this Piltdown Man is the missing link and how much it teaches us, and yet we find out all it is someone who took bones from a monkey and bones from a man and grinded them down and chemically altered them and buried them in the ground to make it look as though it was the missing link. But it's just a hoax. The Java Ape Man was discovered in 1891. And of course my little book here says this was a classic instance of a man searching for evidence to support a theory. And by the way, that's different than, you know, searching for evidence or testing evidence, you know, to test a particular theory. But here he calls this an instance of a man searching for evidence to support a theory. Eugene Du Bois became a convinced evolutionist while attending a Dutch college. He dropped out of school and he began searching for fossils in Sumatra and other Dutch East Indies islands. In September of 1891, near the village of Trinil, in a damp place by the Solo River, Du Bois found a skull cap. A year later, and 50 feet from where he had found the skull cap, he found a femur. And that's one of your leg bone. That's a leg bone. Later, he found three teeth in another location in that area. Now, Du Bois assumed that all these bones were from the same individual and that they were as much as a million years old. And Du Bois spent the rest of his life promoting his great discovery. In 1907, so this would have been 16 years later, a German expedition was sent from Berlin to Java to try to settle the matter as whether or not these bones indicated a missing link. But when they got there, Du Bois would not show them his bone collection because he kept these in his house. So not very many people ever were able to view them personally. Nor would he help them in any way. Arriving in Java, they went over to the Trinil site and thoroughly removed 10,000 cubic meters of material and 43 boxfuls of bones and then declared it all to be a waste of time. Their main discovery was that the boy's Java man bones had been taken from a depth that came from a nearby volcano, and it had overflowed in the present past and spewed forth lava, which overwhelmed and buried a number of people and animals. About 15 years before his death, and after most evolutionists had become convinced that his find was nothing more than bones from a modern man, the boy announced his conviction that the bones belonged to a gibbon. And I meant to look that up, because I don't know what a gibbon is. But I think he was admitting that these bones were not that of a missing link. Nebraska Man was another one I think I maybe mentioned last week. Nebraska Man was found in 1922 and also said to be a missing link between men and animals. It was flaunted in textbooks and museums around the world. Pictures and models were created based on the scientific, quote-unquote, studies of experts. I think I mentioned last week that this was one of the evidences that was given in the Scopes famous monkey trial in Dayton, Tennessee. And that was in 1925. And in this particular article, he says, this overwhelming evidence was introduced to prove evolution and to show that ignorant Bible believers were wrong. And you know, that in that particular trial, the Scopes trial, was it William Jennings Bryan, who was the creationist? He won. He won the trial. And the judge went in his favor, the creationist's favor. But most people would agree that the creationist viewpoint really lost in that trial in the long run, because they did a successful job of portraying, you know, Bible-believing people as ignorant and uneducated. And I have one particular book that's written by Philip Johnson, the professor at the University of Berkeley in California, and the whole book is about that particular movie that was made of the Scopes trial and how it depicted, you know, the preacher and the Bible-believing people as ignorant and uneducated and unwilling to look at evidence and this and that. And he said this is the way that most liberals and most evolutionary thinking people view God-fearing and God-believing people. And he would know. He's in the middle of a group of people who deny the authority of the Scriptures. But this is one of the evidences that was used in that particular trial. When evidence of the Nebraska Man was demanded, the great scientific experts reluctantly admitted that their evidence consisted of one tooth. One tooth. And that's not all. After evolutionists and the mainstream media reporters bullied lowly Bible believers for years with their scientific proof, the tooth, was discovered to be that of what they thought was an extinct pig. Of course, it wasn't long after that they discovered that kind of pig was not extinct at all. You know, even yesterday, there was an article on Yahoo News about a particular well that was discovered. And that particular well had also been classified by scientists as extinct. My friend Jebediah Porter actually sent me the article, and he stated, how many of these things are they going to find before they realize that evolution is a farce? Because over and over they classify a particular kind of species as extinct, and then lo and behold, they find one. And in some cases they say they've been extinct for thousands of years, for millions of years. Well, no, they haven't. But again, this evidence that was brought forward in the Scopes trial was also declared to be a hoax, to be a lie. You've probably heard of Lucy. She's one of the most recent finds that's been called a missing link. She was found in Ethiopia in 1975. But of course, ever since then, there have been those who have come forward and said that she is no missing link. I don't know if you've read much about Lucy, about 3 foot tall, kind of hunched over. Again, thinking it was the missing link. But really, I'm not going to bore you by reading all the material about Lucy, but really it's been determined that she's nothing more than a monkey, an ape. And again, this is not just what creationists state. This is what many leading scientists have stated, and this particular book has their names and credentials. And again, there's been more. I mean, this book has maybe a dozen finds that were, you know, put out there as missing links. But again, in every case, you find them either to be a hoax or to be completely misrepresented. Which brings me to the title of my message. Why do they lie? Why do they lie? Well, the devil is the father of lies, right? Undoubtedly, he's the one working behind the scenes and motivating this great deception. He's a deceiver. And the Bible tells us that deceivers will increase in the last days. And that's where we find ourselves, and we find people embracing this deception. Like the people of Israel of old, people love to have it so. Because if they can throw God off of his throne, supposedly, then they can live their lives however they want. You know, you can live your life however you want, regardless. You could live your life however you want. But there's going to be consequences for it. And quite frankly, I don't know why people wouldn't want to live their lives according to the principles of the Bible. I live my life both ways. My life undoubtedly is very busy today. If it's always been busy. Since I'm trying to support a family and serve the Lord. I don't do a lot of the things, I guess, that I would prefer to do. My life's not about leisure. It's not about vacationing and all of those sorts of things. And yeah, sometimes in my mind I get a little upset about that. I'd like to have fun. I'd like to have leisure. But what would it merit me in the end? Nothing. I began reading The Pilgrim's Progress again last week. Matter of fact, I even posted a little snippet from it on Facebook a couple days ago. And Christian was encouraging his friends, Pliable and Obstinate, to go with him. And they were like, what are you going in search for that causes you to leave friends and family and comforts behind? And he says, I search for an incorruptible inheritance. I'm paraphrasing. One that fadeth not away. Sometimes people don't understand why we would give up so much to follow the Lord. But really, we're not giving up anything. I think I put in that same post what Jim Elliot said. No man is a fool to give up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Be careful. The devil, he's a great deceiver. I tell people all the time, you know, that we've got conspiracy theorists out there. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I don't believe in it. That there's a conspiracy. I don't believe that all the world leaders are getting together and trying to plot and determine how they could take over the world and rule it and reign over it and take all of its resources and money and in an effort to profit themselves. No, the world leaders haven't gotten together. and plotted out what they're going to do, but the devil is busy bringing about his plan for the world, where the Antichrist comes on the scene. And you know what? These world leaders, though they're marching in that direction, I don't believe they have any clue that it's the devil and his tune that they're marching to. And I don't believe that many evolutionary scientists know that they're believing the lies of the devil. I believe that their biases have blinded them. I'm sure they'd say the same of us, though. The difference is, what we believe is true. What we believe is true. And besides that, if we're wrong, no big deal. Right? We die, we're buried, and that's the end of us. But we're not wrong. And if they're wrong, they're in big trouble. And that's why they ought to take a look a second time at the evidence. And you know what, folks, this is, I guess maybe one thing we should take away from this particular message is, you know what, be careful when these evidences are brought forth, you know, saying that they're the missing link, they disprove the Bible. Oh, look, we found an alien skull, there's life out there somewhere else, that means God is not true. Wait a minute. Stop for a second and use our critical minds. And realize that there's been lots of things that have been purported as scientific evidence in the past, and they have come to naught. And it's very likely that new evidences that are purported as the missing link are also hoaxes or misrepresentations of what the truth really is. Again, let's be like Abraham. He staggered not at the promises of God, but he embraced them. He believed it. Let's just choose to believe God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for thy word. And thank you, Lord, for declaring your glories even in the heavens. Thank you, Lord, while the Bible is not meant to be a scientific book, Lord, we learn all types of things about science, about this universe from the Bible. And Lord, help those that support the evolutionary theory not to cause our faith to waver, but might our confidence be in you and what you have revealed to us in the Bible. And Lord, I pray you'd help each of us to even study this subject more, that we could give an answer to others, Lord, who believe differently and who wonder why we still adhere to this old blessed book. And so, Lord, just as we go through these messages in the weeks to come and what we've looked at already, just strengthen our faith, strengthen our confidence in the Word of God. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me and let's turn to hymn 390.